Yeah, that's a total farce. Georgia's probably going to be the first state I'm going to blow up, and Mr. Kemp and the Secretary of State need to go with it, because they're in on the Dominion scam with their last-minute purchase or award of a contract to Dominion of $100 million. The State Bureau of Investigation for Georgia ought to be looking into the financial benefits received by Mr. Kemp and the Secretary of State's family about that time. And another benefit Dominion was created to award is what I would call election insurance. That's why Hugo Chavez had it created in the first place. But I also wonder where he got the technology, where it actually came from, because I think it's hammer and scorecard from the CIA.
Well, that's some serious accusations. Hi, guys. How are you? How's your happy Thanksgiving week? Yay. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. So, it's amazing. I'm trying to figure out where to start today, because it is an absolute poo, NATO. And I got a little mad last night. I was a little sassy this morning, if you were on social media at all. And I'm trying to figure out where to start. I'm trying to figure out even where to start and just like giving the lay of the land with the newsletter. No one knows what the hell is going to happen. Nobody knows. Anyone telling you that they know, they're lying. I do know one thing though. And that is that everything is on the line in Georgia, right? I don't know enough about Sidney Powell, and I haven't met her in person to be able to say, well, I can vouch for her character, because I don't know her, and I'm not going to do that. To vouch for someone, that's an incredibly valuable thing to do, and I need to know a little bit about somebody before I can actually do that, you know? So I don't know. I don't know who is on the legal team anymore and who isn't officially on the legal team. But I do know this. You have three states in the next, 48 hours that are going to be certifying their election results. Pennsylvania is one of them. And so, you know, two states are going to be certifying their results today. At this point, I'm trying to cut through it, and you're going to have to, I'm just so tired of all of the noise about it. And I'm just done. I get it that you have that the legal team is trying to get it to get into the courtroom and present evidence, et cetera, et cetera. But at the same time, did we not have a plan like this already in place before the election? Seriously, did we not have anything like this? Did we not have like a plan? Let's blow everything up with lawyers. Do we not have that ready to go? Yeah. Because we didn't have that, did we?
Doesn't sound like it.
Yeah. I just remember how a few weeks ago I was saying that Trump needs a Jim Baker. Like, that was had down in Florida with Bush, right? I think that Sidney Powell, I like Sidney Powell, but do you want me to give you my honest opinion, or do you want me to blow smoke up your ass like all these other conservative radio hosts that don't have enough of an audience to actually give you their real opinion? I'm just asking. I mean, I'm being serious. So many damn people on our side are cowards. Cowards because they feel like they're too terrified to even share honest opinion. I like our side better, obviously, than I like the left, but I have to be honest here. This is how I look at it. I like playing from a position of strength, number one. The moment that you stop playing from a position of strength, that's the moment you are no longer valuable to me as a strategist. This is how I approach things. You play from a position of strength. I also don't like emotional people handling my business. So I have absolute jerks that work for me. Not you guys. I'm not saying you guys are jerks. But like me personally, agents and lawyers, I have some of the meanest people in the industry that work for me. I have one of the most ignorant attorneys you could ever possibly imagine. And I like working with people who stay in a position of strength and they do what needs to be done and they're absolutely ruthless. When I saw Sidney Powell give the press conference and her voice cracked, that's when I would have pulled her as Trump. Because one of the things that Baker did And I don't care where you stand on him or Bush or Florida or anything. It is entirely irrelevant. And the people who can't get around themselves are never going to be able to see anything but themselves. And they're completely useless and worthless to our conversation. When I look at the way Baker handled things in Florida, he wasn't there in front of the cameras, and he wasn't there seeking any kind of reporter to give comment. He was more so behind the scenes and working through other individuals and getting things done. I'm sure Powell, everyone thought she was over her skis with Flynn, and she was right. Maybe she's right here. But I'm going to tell you something. When you go out there and you're accusing a governor of a state of literally being paid off to hand over a state election to Democrats, that's a big A double snakes accusation. That's a big accusation. That is like, we're going to split the party accusation. And within 24 hours after that, that's when the Trump campaign released that statement saying that she was doing her own thing in her own capacity and she wasn't part of the legal team. Even though, let's be real, Trump had tweeted previously she was literally verbatim part of the legal team. And so had Jenna Ellis. And I like Jenna Ellis a lot. I thought she was masterful when she was speaking to the press last week. I don't know how many times do I have to say that to say, you know, it's just, we get it, right? But this, I mean, there was the accusation from last week that she hadn't shown the Trump campaign any of the stuff that she was talking about she had. And if I'm your boss and you're representing me and you go out there and you say some stuff that I ain't even heard before and that you haven't showed me, I'm going to put your ass in a knot. That's how I look at it. Now, I'm saying this strictly from my perspective and how I work with people. All I know is that after she gave that interview with Newsmax, within 24 hours, Trump had that statement out. So, as I said, yes, people thought she was over her skis with Mike Flynn, and she was correct. Of course, though, there were a lot of other things that we sort of figured going into that, particularly with Carter Page, that made their arguments against Flynn less reasonable. And so that's what makes this a little bit different. So I don't think that those comparisons are entirely accurate. But that being said, if she got too far over and is saying stuff that she shouldn't have said and it imperils a Senate race, not just the Senate race, but it imperils the power in the Senate, and not just the power in the Senate, but it imperils how much tax you're going to pay next year, and not just tax, but it imperils whether or not you're going to be paying a $200 expansion NFA stamp tax on every single damn commonly owned legal semi-auto rifle you have. And those are just two of the things that I could spend the rest of our time here together going into. That's a really big thing, and you're gambling a lot when the vote happens January 5th. So that's where I kind of stand on that issue right now. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how this is. I know that there are a lot of people saying, okay, well, it's done at this point. And maybe it is. I mean, when you have states certifying stuff, and do you want me to go over some of the cases? There's a case. I know there's something that's outstanding in Pennsylvania. This is what I think. I don't believe in the question of, was there widespread fraud? I think that's a stupid question. I believe that there was widespread fraud. The question is, how widespread? I don't believe that they did this in giant chunks and you're going to be able to go to a state and you're going to find, look at this. Here it is right here. Here's the missing puzzle piece. It's not going to be like that. Now, if, because I am a logical person and I like to be consistent and live by the rules that I set for everyone else, but the way it would look like is that it was incremental, bit by bit, spread over such a distance that it would take a really, really long time to run all of it down. But something ain't right. That's my two cents on it. But I also believe in split ticket voting. I believe in that too. But there's just a lot of things that stick out as weird to me. Now, you can have that opinion, and you can also believe that the Senate is all important. Now, here's where I'm going to start getting ignorant. And I know that Donald Trump Jr. agrees with me on this, because he's tweeted the same sentiments. I went and looked at the tweets, because I never like to believe what someone's reporting, initially. So I went and I was looking at the tweets. Linwood's an attorney. He's represented Nick Sandman. He did quite well for him. And now he's working on behalf of the Trump campaign with this. And it's not just the Trump campaign that's filed lawsuits. The RNC has filed lawsuits in all these states right along with Trump for people who think that the GOP aren't doing anything. And I say this as one of the people who's been voted least likely to be a team player. Okay. But he had tweeted, Linwood, this was just a couple of days ago, quote, politicians love votes and money, not necessarily in that order. Want to get Senator Loeffler and Senator David Perdue out of their basements to demand that action must be taken to fix the steal of the November 3rd Georgia election. Threaten to withhold your votes and money. Demand that they respect you. It's stupid. I understand what he's saying, but it's stupid. It is stupid, and now you made me mad with it. With all due respect, and we should be able to disagree without somebody having to, like, take their follow and go home, right? Right. I've been having some discussions with people this morning about this. It's kind of crazy. I said, telling people to not vote in the Georgia runoff, it's only going to hand the Senate to Schumer and undo every gain that we have had for the past 4 years. Now, I assume that telling people this stuff, that is that the goal in mind? Is that the goal in mind? That is irresponsible. This isn't about one person. It is about the future of the country. We all agree on a number of issues, and we all agree as to about Joe Biden. I don't have to keep saying this. It should just be assumed. Everyone should just, you know, I'm at the point where I'm fed up, and I'm getting kind of fed up with a couple of conservatives as well. And by a couple, I mean a giant group. This idea that we're going to punish the GOP for something. I mean, by the way, you realize that the RNC, like I said, has been filing suit in a number of these. Perdue and Loeffler are fighting pretty big races. They can't sit here and do Lynn Wood's job and also win these Senate runoff races. Lynn Wood needs to keep his powder dry and focus on his damn job. We're going to talk more about this here coming up because this made me angry and we need to lay it out on the line. You're not punishing the GOP. You're voting to punish yourself. The same people are going to be there. You're just going to be paying higher taxes and having to turn your guns in. Maybe. Because I don't turn anything in. We'll talk about that. Now Democrats are trying to deny that Joe Biden wants an expansion of NFA, which is a lie that they would deny it. So we'll get into all of that and more. We got a lot of stuff for you today, so you don't want to miss a single bit of it as we move on. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you're missing out. Not only do they taste great, but Super Beet Soft Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet's Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than as a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you want. And if you love Super Beets Chews, you'll love their all-new delicious vitamin D3 chews. Vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. Now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beets Chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beets Chews at danasbeets.com. That's danasbeets.com. danasbeets.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5, brought to you by Caltech.
Oh, here's a nice warm and fuzzy story. It's really warm and fuzzy. You remember that grandmother who went viral after she invited the wrong teenager to celebrate Thanksgiving with her? Do you remember? She had texted and she thought she was texting one of her grandkids, and she had this number of Jamal Hinton, who's now 21, and she was saying that you know, here's, you know, here's what time Thanksgiving dinner is, etc. And he goes, well, who are you? And she said, your grandma. And he goes, I don't know. He goes, I don't think you're my grandma. And he sent a picture of himself. He goes, can I still have a plate, though? And she goes, of course you can. That's what grandmas do. Feed everyone. So it went viral when they exchanged it, after their text messages. And so now this is the fifth year that he's been coming over. And now her husband, he's passed away. He passed away earlier this year. And she said that she was a little bit sad and wasn't really looking forward to it. But everybody's coming, including Linton. He's going to be there, too. So that's a nice story. That's how it ended. Look, see? I mean, are they going to get busted for gathering? Take down your gather signs. No, all those craft signs that say gather. Nope, you can't. It's illegal. China reportedly used a secret microwave pulse weapon against Indian troops. We've heard about this before, except usually, like, the last time something like that happened, it was in Cuba or something, wasn't it? So the Times in the United Kingdom revealed new information on China's use of a new high-tech weapon during the Himalayan standoff between Indian and Chinese troops earlier. And they said that it's a military-grade crowd-control sonic pulse weapon, and it causes severe bodily discomfort. Or it's the same feeling that you get when you hear Green Day. And it includes dizziness, nausea, and it was used by China's PLA military on Indian soldiers. So they said that was the first known instance in history of such a controversial weapon being deployed into battle. So except for James Taylor, when John Kerry took him over to Europe to fight the terrorists, remember? And he just played Sweet Caroline and everyone kept being terrorists. So it didn't work. It was actually completely ineffective. Doctors say that a man who fell off a ladder died of coronavirus. What? Because he may have, and this was all speculation, by the way, but they said that he may have had, you know, some complications from another disease, but that coronavirus really ultimately was what did it in. But it's speculation, though. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carter, host of the Sarah Carter Podcast. Everywhere you look these days, we're seeing an aggressive effort to destroy what made America great, tearing down our history, attacking our freedoms, and canceling any person who dares to cross the progressive speech police. We cannot stand by and let this happen. It's time for the silent majority to become the unsilent majority. Join me on the Sarah Carter Podcast. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
Joe Biden, Kamala Harris conducted this campaign with the safety of the American people in mind. They got a lot of grief for that. They got attacked for that relentlessly by President Trump for the way in which they campaigned safely to try to prevent the spread of the disease. They're going to try to have an inauguration that honors the importance and the symbolic meaning of the moment, but also does not result in spread of the disease. That's our goal.
I'm rolling my eyes so hard they almost fell out of my head. That's Ron Klain.
What's that survivability rate again?
99%. So they're going to have a celebration, but you don't get to go to any funerals or get married or do anything, but he gets to, you know, I'm just saying, just that's he's like going to be the he's going to be one of Biden's top guys. And it looks like they're going to be certifying votes. I mean, I don't know what else is going to be done at this point. I do think that conservatives need to stop being on defense all the time. But see, when people are on offense, I like to be on offense, but I'm told I'm too aggressive and I'm, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And there are a lot of old guard GOP people that don't like me because of it. And I really, let me check my pockets. I'm pretty sure I don't have any, none to give. Because I don't care about being friends. I don't need friends, at least not in D.C. So welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. Can I just ask why Andy Cuomo is receiving an Emmy? Yeah, so he tweeted, quote, receiving the Founders Award at the 48th International Emmy Awards, approximately 11:20 Eastern. We don't care. I don't even know what that is. And it's, so here's the category. It's the International Emmy Awards. I don't know what the heck there's because what is he saying that? It is all performance.
Yeah,
so it would make
sense.
Been
on daytime TV. Is that the thing? Like
it's like watching one of my grandma's stories in the afternoon. That's how he is, except You know,
he killed your grandma. He killed grandma.
Yeah. Oh, it's scandaloso. He did. No, no, not Stefano. Yes, it is me. I'm still alive somehow. But we boiled you in a vat of acid. Yes, and I'm still alive. Mwah-ah-ah. He was like the original Dr. Evil. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how that came to be. So my grandma, I'm going to get back to this, but sidebar, because it's 2 days before Thanksgiving. We are all tired of it. And I had family members that were fighting on Facebook last night, and it was ridiculous. So, oh yes, y'all know. I just remember one of the stories that she watched. It was the lady who was Marlena, and she ended up getting like possessed or something at one point. Does anyone remember this, or am I making this up? I swear to you. She was like possessed at one point, legit. And she went around like being a demon. She was like a demon running around. Yeah. It was like Exorcist. And then she had that guy, John, who I swear I saw in the Hallmark movie over the weekend. And he was trying to be, they were like trying to, I don't even know. It's just crazy. So please someone tell me I'm not making this up, because that's when I was like, Grandma, I cannot watch this with you anymore.
Was John the guy with the eye patch?
No, like, that was Patch.
That was Patch?
His name was literally Patch, okay. I think. I think he was dead, but he may have come back again.
Yeah, I think most characters did that.
Yeah, there's more. Yeah, I don't know. People reanimate all the time on that.
Resurrections, a lot of resurrections.
Yeah, but I just remember that, and like Stefano was behind that, I'm sure, somehow. And then it was crazy. It's just insane. I'm sure Twitter is going to totally tell me all about this. I'm just waiting, because there are some people out there who know, and they will. I'm too proud to Google it, because then the Google watchers and CIA and everybody else, they'll be like, what the hell is she tweeting this for? Why, demon on Days of Our, what is it? Days of Our Lives? What? Anyway, I had a point. Oh, the Emmy. So Andy Cuomo he's getting an Emmy today for his performance at the press conferences. His
performances.
I don't know how else to describe it. Did he get mad at a reporter? Wasn't he yelling with somebody? Where's that audio at? We got audio of him yelling at somebody. Give me some of that daytime talk, that daytime soap music underneath it. Because this is exactly, he got into a fight with a reporter. This was just like Friday. And the reporter was asking about the schools. And I guess he just didn't like the questions that were being asked. Listen.
Do we have it? What cut is it?
Which apparently we don't.
I don't think we did. Do you
okay. Okay. Well, there we go. Well, you can imagine it in your mind. It was spectacular. There you go. So, but he's getting an Emmy, and I'm not quite sure, because what is it? Did they give awards for killing elderly people?
I think so.
So how many elderly people do you have to kill to get an Emmy? I'm asking for a friend. I don't really care about awards, but, you know. Steve wanted to know how many elderly
people. What are you talking about?
You're now going to override.
Look at that.
We did it already. That's the law. An orange zone and a red zone.
His sign language
follow
interpreter?
The facts.
Should get the Emmy now.
Well, then you're confused.
I'm confused. And
then I'll tell you what you mean.
Parents are still confused.
His sign language interpreter should get
the Emmy. They're not confused. You're confused.
No, I think parents are confused as well.
Read the law and you won't be confused.
His sign language interpreter, it was like watching a dance. I mean, with the expression and the gyration, he should get a Tony.
There's a lot of these, too.
Yeah, a lot of no, just saying. But somebody had told me it was, yes, someone said yes, Deidre Hall's character was possessed at one point. Oh my gosh, I knew I wasn't making it up. I'm so happy when you guys confirm things, because I have an overactive imagination. Just wanted to make sure, you know. But I guess for killing X amount of old people. Now, the reason I bring this up is because, like, I couldn't go, you know, we're already having a run on paper towels. Why? Why is that? Because Greg Abbott said that Texas isn't going to be shutting down. We don't live in California. Well, some of y'all do who are listening across the country. But I'm in a state where it's not. Why are y'all buying paper towels? What are you doing that you need that many paper towels? Well, you know, maybe if you're going for an Emmy, maybe you need them. But I bring this up because I couldn't go into the Costco before 10 a.m. You can't go in there before 10 a.m. because the elderly people, which I'm totally fine with. But I'm just saying, if somebody wanted to get an Emmy, like Cuomo.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure you don't like old people. You've said that before, Kane.
Why do you say that? Why mm-hmm. do you do that? You know that's not right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Here's what I said.
Did I mischaracterize you?
Yes, you did. And you often do it, by the way. Mm-hmm. I say not all old people are innocent. Oh. Not all. That doesn't mean I hate
Kane's,
old people.
Kane's competing for an Emmy right
that does
now.
Not, I swear to God.
They already had the ceremony. You're not getting one this year.
Not fair.
Yeah. Well, it just makes a mockery of it. It just absolutely makes a mockery. And apparently, so he's getting it for recognition of his leadership and his masterful use of this is literally what they tweeted. Oh, so help me. It's in recognition of his leadership during the coronavirus pandemic and his masterful use of TV to inform and calm people around the world. Do you feel informed and also calm?
No.
Mm-mm. You don't?
He wasn't even calm, the last audio we heard.
I mean, did they do it right after their in memoriam segment of all the people whose deaths he contributed to?
That'd be nice.
It's a joke. I mean, they act like it is a joke. They treat it like it is a joke. That's what's so... it's frustrating. It is so frustrating.
I have a question.
Yes.
If Cuomo gets an Emmy and his sign language interpreter gets a Tony, can Bloomberg get a Grammy for this?
It goes. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Yeah, but it has to keep going, and we need a beat.
Oh, I gotta pull that up. Hold on.
Yeah, you got to make that happen, Steve.
Got to have a famous producer.
Yeah, DJ Fun Uncle. He's got to make this happen. See, I told you that name was gonna stick. That's your DJ name.
Still trying.
Yeah, I'm saying. So this couple things here, because we've been looking at all the election stuff. And as I mentioned a little bit earlier, the idea that Lynn Wood would tell people to like not back Republican candidates in Georgia, that's what gets me mad. And I start pushing up my shirt sleeves a little bit. But there's big you're not going to punish the Republican Party. First off, the RNC is out there filing suits right along with the Trump campaign. But the idea that you're going to punish the Republican Party by raising your own taxes. Look at how much an additional tax I'm paying. That's really showing those Republicans. Look at this. I'm voting to make sure we get the Senate goes to Democrats so they can expand the NFA and we're all going to have to pay $200 for every legally owned firearm we already have. So, and the $200 pays for the government's consideration of allowing us to keep our legally owned and legally purchased property. Woo! Punishing the GOP! That's like somebody drunk at a frat party. That's that logic. That doesn't do any. You're not punishing nobody but you. Those same people are still going to be there. They're still going to be there, and they're still going to be in the same amount of power. They're still going to have the same. You're not doing anything but hurting yourself. It's like screwing for chastity. This is like this is Lincoln Project logic, right? We suddenly love abortion because we're so pro-life. Put it out there. Trump Jr. agrees with me because he's talked about it. Quite frequently. He says it's nonsense. He was all caps lock about it yesterday. He says, I'm seeing talk from people that are supposed to be on our side. They're supposed to be on our side with this. And they're saying a lot of stupid stuff about not voting for Loeffler and Perdue in Georgia. Ignore these people. It is nonsense. And he's right. I mean, and at the same time that you're trying to save the Senate, in the same state, you have people going out there saying, no, don't go and vote for these. How does that, do you want to undo the past 4 years? Because that's what'll happen. You loved it. You loved the last 4 years so much that we'd give the Senate to Schumer and undo all of that? Dana, it shouldn't be by, oh my gosh. I had a friend of mine. I was probably a little sassy. Like, you know, it's just, you shouldn't tell people that, you know, it's either or. It is in this race, genius, because it's already been established. These are your choices. Would you like raspberry or blueberry? Pick. There's no kiwi flavor. It's a Wendy's, ma'am. All right, we got a lot more on the way. I haven't adequately made fun of Cuomo yet today, so we'll get to it. I'll give you the lay of the land with where some of these lawsuits and that are. Cancel culture. They came for John Cleese. Leave him alone. Oh, are they going for Emmys too? I'm curious. So we'll discuss that and the latest with coronavirus. Wait until you hear what they're doing up in Oregon. Wait until you hear. If you're in Oregon, you get a knock at your door. It could be the government checking to see how many people are in your home. Not even exaggerating, man. I am being straight no chaser. If you're a regular listener, then you've been hearing me talk about Kel-Tec and all the reasons why they're one of my personal favorites when it comes to firearms. Privately owned family company Kel-Tec has been making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms since 1995. Driven by creativity, Kel-Tec does not simply copy other weapons on the market. They innovate new firearms, including the new Sub-CQB. This folding suppressed rifle is bred for home defense. It also looks cool. And also new is the Kel-Tec RDB Defender with its patented downward shell ejection system. Both weapons are lightweight, easy to handle, and proudly made right here in America by dedicated employees who strive daily to find better ways to produce efficiently with quality, reliability, and affordability in mind. To find out more about the Sub-CQB, the RDB Defender, and all other Kel-Tec firearms and products, check out KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you. KelTecWeapons.com. Kel-Tec, creating innovative quality firearms to help secure your world.
Want a deeper dive into the Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
So we're with you today and tomorrow, and then I'm taking obviously this week for Thanksgiving. And if I'm a little off today, I can't, my left ear is completely because of my awesome allergies. So I have a little bit of vertigo, not enough to where I can't do the show, but enough to where I couldn't drive. So if I fall out of my chair, just randomly, don't believe all the leftist legacy media networks saying that it's just Dana's drunk on air. No, Dana has crazy vertigo and she's on steroids. So that's the whole thing. See, and I show up, there you go. But, I know that there's a number of states, like I said, that are certifying the results of the election today and where that puts us with certain suits. I know there was one county that was still outstanding in Pennsylvania that the campaign filed suit, not to delay certification, but rather to look at some of the signatures and some of the back and forth as it related to that. And where I just don't see how this ends with an overturn of what some of, I just don't see how it ends with him ending up in the White House. I don't, not at this point. I mean, I could lie and be like, oh yeah, it's tough, but I just don't see how it's possible at this particular juncture. Especially with so many of these states having certified results. And in Georgia, they were saying that the hand count matched what they did previously with the machine. And the one suit that they had in Pennsylvania that didn't, that one ended up, I think they ended up losing that one. And that was against their Secretary of State, Kathy, she has a crazy name with a lot of consonants and like 5,000 O's, Bukvar. It was against their Secretary of State, and there were a number of different counties in which they had also filed suit. But the problem with that lawsuit is that there were two individuals there. There were two men, and they had affidavits, and they had said that their mail-in ballots had been canceled. But the way went, from what I was reading, and the judge agreed with them, saying that yes, it looks like this is, you know, that your two votes had not been counted. But the problem is, out of the seven counties in which the campaign had filed suit, neither of the men lived in those counties. And so their particular, what the judge said had happened with their two votes not being counted, they didn't live in the counties where the suits, where it's being contested by the campaign. So it actually didn't affect, it didn't have anything to do with those ballots. And so it didn't tie anything into their complaint against the Secretary of State. So there's things to understand about this. But Lynn Wood telling people to not vote in the Republican run in the Georgia runoff when you have two Senate seats up and the future of Senate control is irresponsible. We're going to talk more about this here coming up. Don't go anywhere. More of The Dana Show back after this.
It's The Dana Show.
This November, we must take a stand. Now is the time to stand for what you believe in, for what makes America great, and for truth and freedom. With Patriot Mobile, you can take that stand with America's only Christian conservative wireless company. From now until November 7th, switch to Patriot Mobile with their Stand Up for Freedom promotion. Get a free Samsung A11 phone with 2-year commitment, free premier activation, and a free gift. Patriot Mobile takes a stand with a portion of every dollar going to support organizations that simply support the Constitution and your values. At 972 Patriot or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for a free Samsung A11 phone, free premier activation, and a free gift. Or get a free month of service and $45 off any phone in stock. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972 Patriot. Stand up for freedom now with Patriot Mobile. That's 972 Patriot. Patriot Mobile, our plans, your freedom.
Speaking of individual communities, we've just seen that a few weeks ago there was a very secret Hasidic wedding where 7,000 to 10,000 people attended, completely maskless. And I'm just wondering your reaction to this. Will there be consequences? And what's to stop this from happening over the holidays?
That, you know, if that happened, I heard the report. If that happened, it was a blatant disregard of the law. It's illegal. It was also disrespectful to the people of New York. The law protects everybody. It protects you, but it also protects me. We went through this with weddings. We literally stopped the wedding a couple of nights before, which was going to be a very large wedding. If it turns out that because we stopped that wedding, the reaction was, well, we'll have a secret wedding. That would be really shocking and totally, I think, deceitful of the conversations that I had, because I had personal conversations with members of the community. But put that aside, I've been deceived many times.
Mm. He got an Emmy?
He got an Emmy.
Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. It's Monday. It's really good to be with you all today. DanaLash.com. Now, full disclosure, I have crazy allergies. Like, people don't realize how allergic I am to certain pollens. Like, my left eustachian tube is closed totally. So I'm back on steroids. And I have a bit of vertigo. And I just want to make sure I heard this guy with this verbal diarrhea. And it wasn't, you know, me just like spinning out mentally because of the vertigo, right?
Right.
So he said these things.
He really said it.
The Cuomo. He said this.
Yes, he did.
Got the Emmy. Yeah. Okay. This was after he was telling people. When was he saying this? Because you said this is flashback
back
audio.
In October. Yeah, this was back in October.
So it's not actually not that long ago. Okay.
No, this is just a month and some change ago.
But he was like telling people, don't go to the synagogues and, you know, worship. Don't do that.
You're dealing with government saying to religions, you shouldn't have more than X people in your church or your mosque or your temple.
Mm-hmm.
That's a politically uncomfortable situation.
Because it's stupid.
You know, I have to say to the Orthodox community tomorrow,
you have to?
If you're not willing to live with these rules, then I'm going to close the synagogues.
Come at me, bro. I'm just saying. That's not, we all agree that government does not have the ability to do these things, correct?
Right.
But yet, he doesn't know that, but we do.
Right.
So at what point is enough enough? Get this. And I told you I wasn't making this up. This is just, I tweeted about this and there were some people who didn't think this was actually real. Excuse me. So in Oregon, Kate Brown is the governor there. in Oregon, she's telling people to call the cops on shutdown violators. You know, the cops that Democrats want to defund. And in the state of Oregon, there is a 6-person limit on in-home gatherings. What if you have more than 6 people in your family living there in your house? Ooh. It's they say this went into effect Wednesday, last Wednesday. It restricts indoor at-home social gatherings to 6 people for no more than 2 households with no exceptions, excuse me, for Thanksgiving dinner get-togethers. And she, Kate Brown, governor of Oregon, she told KGWTV Friday that Oregonians should contact authorities if they see their neighbors hosting more than 6 people. She said, yeah, do you? KGW?
I think so.
Let's listen.
Do you want people calling the police on their neighbors, not emergency lines or 911?
Look, this is no different than what happens if there's a party down the street and it's keeping everyone awake. What do neighbors do? They call law enforcement because it's too noisy.
So that could be a yes.
Yes, yes.
She says it's like a violation of a noise ordinance.
No, it isn't.
Except it's not. At all. And you could be spent up to 30 days in jail, pay up to $1,200 or both for a fine. How is that like a noise ordinance? If it happens during the day when everyone else is awake and there's no noise. I know. This is insane. Oh, there would be a fight if someone came to my house to, if I had people over. I'm not even joking. Like, I draw a line and I don't care. You don't get to tell me how many people I get to have in my home. This woman works for people who voted in Oregon. She works for Oregonians and she's telling people how many folks you can have in your home. Just tell her it's Chaz. Just say, no, this is Chaz. Just put it, look, this is all you got to do. Just get you some, like, you know, broken plywood and spray paint Chaz on it and set it outside. So that way, and then you know what? It might help if you put up like a dirty looking stand, like a Bookshare, because they have those for whatever reason. Like these people don't read books, but whatever. They always have something like that happening and no one ever takes the books, but whatever. Put something up like that, you know, like to throw them off, like a decoy.
Right.
Also, it helps to put topsoil on top of cardboard pieces.
Yes.
And make a garden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, badly garden. And so then what will happen is the people that, because she called, you know, she was like all about defunding the police too, so I don't know who's going to be responding to this. Right. But the snitches that when they look at your house, they'll go, oh, no. Oh, you know what? We thought that was a noise violator. But now we see it's Chaz. It's just Chaz. Chaz moved here. That's all it is. It's just Chaz. See? And then you don't have to worry about it anymore. If someone called, this is how I would be petty, and I'm petty anyway, but if I lived in Oregon and somebody called the police on me, I would call the police on them for calling the police on me. And we'd see how much we could keep it going back and forth.
Do you run out of police?
Yeah. Like, yes, I'm calling to report my neighbor who's harassing me and just, you know, keep it going. This is so dumb. It's none of your business what somebody does inside their home. If they're having a meal with their family, they're not bothering you. They're not bothering you at all. I can't stand the shaming either. Have you been shamed with the masks and the going out and stuff? No. I went out to eat at a restaurant just Saturday. And I didn't wear a mask in. Now the people that work at the restaurant, it's an amazing restaurant. They're very nice. They wear masks and they're really clean and all that. And they, you know, you do the social distance and all that stuff. But have you seen it to where it's at the extreme? I got to tell you guys this story. So I went into my dermatologist's office, right? And I go in and I haven't been in there since the whole lockdown, right? Because I only go once a year. I haven't been in there since the lockdown. So I go in and I kid you not, like it was a spacious, really nice waiting room before. With the, you know, the chairs and, you know, where you sit and wait. It's real nice, the TVs. I go in and there are no more than 6 chairs in the middle of this giant room. And they are spaced about 10 feet apart. And all the other chairs are stacked up and they're covered with plastic. There's plastic on everything. There's plastic coverings on the chairs that you sit on, which I don't know because they're plastic anyway. So I don't know why you had to cover plastic chairs with further plastic. Everything is plastic. There's a covering on everything. Do y'all remember? My grandma never had this, but I know people who did. I had a friend, and when we would go and visit her grandparents, her grandma had one of them plastic covers on the couches, right? Where you don't sit on it if it's in the summer and you're in shorts, because it'll peel your skin off. It'll skin your thighs, right? Like chicken. And but she had plastic on everything. Had plastic. The only thing that they did not have plastic on was this like recliner for her grandpa, but she covered it in a giant quilt. Everything had plastic on it. The chair she sat in had plastic. The couch had plastic on it. The ottoman, I didn't even know they made them, but they had a plastic cover for the ottoman. It was crazy. Had a plastic thing on the table. It's plastic. It's crazy. It's like that. So I'm in there and I'm just like, it was just, it's like, okay, we get it. Sometimes I think it is kind of virtue signaling. And I think that there are some people who are also terrified. Like, I just think people are dirty anyway. And I've always been weird. Now I can just not, I just don't have to hide it. Like, if I want to get my, you know, my wet ones out and wipe my hands off after I came in contact with you, no one judges me for it now. Now it's accepted. Whereas previously, all the people who want to act like the OG germaphobe shamers, y'all would look at me like I was crazy. But have you noticed the mask shaming and all of that stuff? Like, where it's, even if you're outside and you don't have a mask on, you're outside, no one's around you. It's like people, like, they look at you shamefully. Doesn't make any, and if you contract it or if someone contracts it, then they're shamed for it. It's like it's a lack of virtue. Do you shame people for other ailments? I mean, like, for instance, would these people shame someone for contracting AIDS? Would they shame them for, you know, I mean, seriously, if they want to sit here and act like, oh my gosh, you're engaging in such risky behavior. Right. I do think that whole thing is odd. It's two-faced. It is definitely a vehicle for control. Now, I got some cancel culture stuff for you too. So John Cleese, they came after John Cleese because he, I guess, was defending J.K. Rowling. John Cleese is not a conservative. Let's just put it mildly. But someone kept asking him, people kept aggravating him about where, I guess because in Britain, they have to do an inventory of how many people will defend J.K. Rowling and how many people won't. I don't know what that's about, but. And so he was accused of transphobia simply because after he was aggravated 6 ways to Sunday by people demanding to know what he thought about the issue, he actually said, he responded and he said that he just didn't care. He goes, quote, "I'm afraid I'm not that interested in trans folks. I just hope they're happy and that people treat them kindly. Right now I'm more focused on threats to democracy in America." And people said he was transphobic because of that. That's just like such an anti-intellectual thing to say. There's absolutely no nuance on the left. It's, if you don't agree with me lockstep, then you're phobic. He just doesn't care. Why are they trying to make him care about something that is somebody else's business? I don't care. As long as you're not telling me how to speak or infringing on anything that I do, I don't care. I want to be left alone. I want to be left alone so badly. And so, because we'll get into more of that, but they also went after, people also were going after Black Rifle Coffee Company. We're going to speak with, coming up, we're going to talk to the CEO, Evan Hafer, of that. I saw this on Twitter because there were a couple of verified blue-checked journos, and it was, none of their things that they were saying were, Twitter didn't put a disclaimer on any of that. But there were a couple of reporters who said that Black Rifle Coffee Company, they are sponsors of Kyle Rittenhouse. Now, why would they? What is that about? Kyle Rittenhouse, there was a photograph of him wearing a Black Rifle Coffee shirt because people can purchase the shirts online. And that does not mean that the company is sponsoring you. But that is not how media was started writing about it. So they, all these people decided that they were going to try to cancel Black Rifle Coffee Company for some reason. And then there were some people who were saying that they bent a knee. And as an expert on rage mobs, who, unlike, you know, most people, has gone into an auditorium where people, there were a woman charged the stage to try to assault her. And I've never bent a knee. I'm kind of an expert on it. I don't see how any, they bent the knee anywhere. So we're going to talk about that coming up as well.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Before I share with you the story about Johnny Rotten, so the old campaign office for Pete Buttigieg, it's going to be South Bend, Indiana's first pole dancing studio. Soma Pole, S-O-M-A. Soma Pole. It's called, literally, it's Soma Pole. It's going to, I'm not going to get through this, am I? It's going to, can I, you may have to read it, because I am going to not, I'm so spaced out right now. Because of the vertigo and also the stupidity. It's a new studio, and it was where Mayor Pete had his office. They said its construction still needs to be done, but they're going to have 9 poles inside.
Oh, God.
So, I'm not.
It's a quaint building, too. Did you see that?
Steve, you're going to have to take over.
Yeah, we only have 30 seconds left, so.
Oh, I'm going to try really hard. Okay, let's get to it. Johnny Rotten was trying to save a squirrel, and it bit him on his Johnny. I don't know how else to put it. Yes, it did. That's actually a for real headline. He was bitten on his man bit while rescuing squirrels. Oh. And I'm really sure he had a, he was bitten by a flea on his.
Oh.
Yeah, because he was dealing with rescue squirrels. We're going to talk about coffee and canceling next.
This portion of the Dana Show is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation. Performance. Kel-Tec. Visit us at KelTecWeapons.com.
DanaLash.com. We were talking a little bit ago about some cancel culture, and I can't stand it when I see things that are just entirely manufactured. And from there, people lose their minds and they go on this, you know, this cancel culture. I can't stand it. And I don't like it when I see it on the right or the left. And let's be real, you know, like everybody does it. Let's be honest about where we come from. Now, we've talked, and I have written reams on the shooting in Kenosha, Kyle Rittenhouse. I've looked at it legally. I looked at it, you know, with the narrative war. We've covered it 6 ways to Sunday. We're still watching it as everything continues to get underway. And that's separate from what I believe is happening here. And it involves Black Rifle Coffee Company. Now, you're probably like, well, what's going on with Black Rifle Coffee? How do they have something to do with this? Well, the rage mob was after them this weekend. And I saw a photo, and I saw it float around earlier. It was a picture of Rittenhouse, and he had a Black Rifle Coffee Company t-shirt on, right? So, and crazy thing, because the veteran-owned coffee company is operated by capitalists, they sell things like t-shirts. And so you can purchase t-shirts on their website. It's amazing how that works, right? And so I don't know how Rittenhouse got a t-shirt, and I don't, you know, you guys know my opinions on all of that. But what I took exception to was the way that that leftists in the media reacted. They were saying, there were verified blue checks. I have receipts. I took screenshots that were saying that Black Rifle Coffee Company sponsored Rittenhouse. They sponsored Kyle Rittenhouse, and they kept using that word over and over again. And then the Moms Demand people got involved, and the Bloomberg funded Moms Demand said, oh wow, this, you know, this company's sponsoring him, because you guys know that when you purchase a t-shirt to wear, that they're actually sponsoring you. I didn't realize that that's how it worked, but you know, here it's the new normal. So I saw this like starting to trend, and that's what caught my eye. And I looked, and Black Rifle Coffee Company, the CEO, Evan Hafer, who's going to join us in a minute, he put out a statement and a video. And all they said was that they were, you know, what they do, that they don't get into the legal advocacy efforts. They said that, quote, we do not sponsor, nor do we have a relationship with the 17-year-old that's facing charges in Kenosha. And I don't know if it's people that are like wanting them to take a stand on it, but isn't that like the same thing that we criticize all the time when we try to go, when we criticize the left who badgers businesses and everybody else to take a stance on an issue that's actually not, doesn't have anything to do with their business? Maybe it's just me, but anyway, this is the context that I was looking through all of this. And so I told Kane, I said, let's get Evan Hafer on, because I don't like talking about stories without reaching out to the people and actually having them comment. So Evan joins us via phone. He's the CEO of Black Rifle Coffee, blackriflecoffee.com. And they do have good coffee. Evan, thanks for joining us. How are you doing today, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great. You know, considering, we went through the cancel culture left and right over the weekend. It's a pretty interesting weekend.
Yeah, I could imagine. I saw that you guys finally were just like, we're just going to just paste, copy and paste this response, because all of these people were going at you. Well, first off, you were accused of sponsoring Kyle Rittenhouse. Is that how sponsorships work? I mean, I don't even know. I seriously doubt that talk to me about that, because I thought that was so crazy.
Well, that was the thing, right? Which is, you know, there was this thousands and thousands of people tweeting, retweeting, and sharing that we had sponsored Kyle Rittenhouse. And I wanted to make sure, because what was happening, it was there was con and pro, so both left and right. So you had some guys on the right that were like, that's awesome, that's great, you know, great way to go, guys. And I wanted to tell everybody just, no, okay, we have to get our facts right. Because I truly believe that, you know, transparency in these situations is the ultimate form of logic. And when I said that, I was like, you guys, we don't sponsor him, we don't have a relationship. And that was really what I didn't want, nor was I comfortable with, was people believing that we were trying to capitalize on what I do really feel is an American tragedy. It is, you know, regardless of what people think, anytime Americans die and anytime you take life, that is a very specific and tragic event in our history and in multiple individuals' lives. So I'm not in the business of being a tragedy merchant. That was the one thing I wanted to tell everybody. Like, I'm not in the business of doing this. One, it's factually incorrect. Two, I don't want anybody to misinterpret this as I would be capitalizing on it.
Right.
And I thought that the right would just say, oh, dude, we get that. Okay, cool. No, I was fundamentally mistaken. I was very mistaken.
It seems like there's not a lot of room for nuance. And it's something that has kind of aggravated me for a little bit, because I can already imagine, like, just from what you said, me listening to what you said, if I wanted to play devil's advocate, I could say, well, so you're saying that Kyle Rittenhouse was in the wrong. You're not even, and I'm not even going to play the game where I'm going to demand that company heads start immediately taking a line on legal issues, especially when, you know, we all have our opinions about it. I've made mine incredibly clear, but I'm not going to turn into the left and start demanding that everybody bake me a damn cake. I'm just not going to do that.
Right.
And it just doesn't make sense to me. But I understand what you're saying, because you did have those accusations. Like, I can't believe that you're using this, what happened here, as a form to of marketing. And I saw there was one woman's tweet I came across. She was an older woman who was saying, I can't believe this company is using the dangerous position this young man is in to market themselves. Yeah. And that's, I'm like, that's, and so I see where you're coming from with that. When you saw people that were on our side, and these were people who previously, because this is like, what, the third or fourth time that people try to cancel your company, right? When you saw people that...
It wouldn't be a good year without this happening. Like, I made it this far in 2020. I'm surprised it didn't happen earlier.
Well, exactly. But the people who are usually like our natural allies, and they were saying that you bent the knee or something, which I don't know. Maybe there was something where I didn't see anything that you had said that would actually satisfy that definition. What are they talking about? What do you make of that?
Oh, it's on the far left and it's on the far right, which is, if you don't directly represent their viewpoint, they're going to say that you bent the knee, right? So they're going to try to essentially extort you or in your business or whomever it is to make sure that you're propagating exactly what they believe. So, like, what I believe, right, is I don't think the mob should be making legal decisions either, right? I truly don't. I think Lady Justice is blind for a reason. And people are like, well, that's a sellout. And I'm like, no, I think one of the problems we have in social media is we collectively on both sides, we start to spin each other up and grind each other out in these echo chambers. And I'm just going to refuse in some of these circumstances when I don't know enough about it. So a lot of people were like, well, how could you not know anything about this? I'm like, you guys, I'm in the middle of holiday season. I work, you know, 12, 15 hours a day. I have 400 employees.
You have a business during a lockdown period.
I just haven't put my finger on the pulse of this. So I don't want, like, I just didn't want anybody to think that we were sponsoring him. But wow. Mm. And I think, you know, if you don't have an opinion, then you're a fence straddler. Like, everybody wants you to take a side. And I'm like, I take a side on the Constitution. That's the side that I'm going to take. I'm a huge proponent of the Second Amendment. And I have been from day one. Like, I started roasting coffee on the back tailgate of my government truck with a SBR when I was teaching former special operations guys to shoot more effectively 6.5-7 years ago. And I mean, from day one, I'm looking at my company, looking at the people where I've been the only openly conservative beating the drum for having kind of conservative ideals, being smaller government, you know, these really foundations of kind of conservative politics. I've been beating these drums for, you know, 6+ years. I was selling coffee to gun stores when that was the only place that would buy my coffee. And so now you've got fringe elements now that are saying, like, oh, well, you're a sellout.
People send me screenshots and say he's an ACT blue Obama loving Democrat who actually hates the Second Amendment. Those people tell me.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I've talked about this on my podcast for years, which is I'm a pretty hardcore conservative, and I have been for a long time, the majority of my adult life. And it's fairly easy, which is back in 2008. And it is like when that Obama $500, there's an Obama $500 contribution there. I lost a bet, and the guys on my team said, we're going to sit here and watch you donate. But you can see the McCain offsets in there. So it was a joke. I've talked about it on my podcast for years. It was a joke that literally I had to do this because I lost a bet back in 2008. And the other one was a Tulsi Gabbard donation, which was, from my perspective, she was a vet and she was getting railroaded out there by her own party. So I'm a veteran rights advocate. I talk about veteran rights all the time. And, you know, I also donate to a lot of PACs. I donate to a lot of very conservative organizations, but I'm never going to hide who I am. Like, I've made a lot of conservative donations over the past several years, but to think that I'm some hidden, you know, DNC guy is ludicrous. Like, it's absolutely ludicrous. And I actually don't mind telling these stories because I think it helps people understand. Like, for the majority of my life, I was carrying a rifle for a living overseas.
Right.
And I never thought that people were going to be, you know, dissecting whether or not I'm contributing to one party or the other. And I think it just kind of goes back to my company is full of a wide variety of people. Black Rifle Coffee is an homage to our service rifle. And we really try to be as representative as we can in our mission, what we do every day. We have, you know, buy a bag, give a bag going on right now where we're contributing a coffee. Every coffee that you buy, we contribute one to go overseas. But like to be accused now as like 43 years old that I've been like essentially lying to my entire family and my business partners and everybody, you know, it's crazy. And then I've seen a bunch of other things out there where people are directly fabricating information. It's like
I don't see that you ever came out either against, and I don't know what your opinion is on the Rittenhouse thing. And that's not why I had you on for this, because I like to be consistent with stuff. And I feel like this is all getting incredibly Orwellian. and also kind of Portlandia, where we have to do research on every single product before we make a purchase. Because, I mean, I have my thoughts on the Rittenhouse thing. I thought, you know, while he was, I'm a mother and I have a 17-year-old son, and I would never let my 17-year-old son, even though he's, you know, he can actually range boss. He's incredibly good. He's a great marksman. He's incredibly responsible. And it's not about that. It's about the liability that you're causing someone that young to assume if something like that happens. And I just think that that's irresponsible. I feel like he acted in self-defense, and that was justified because he had two adults, one of whom was a prohibited possessor who was attacking him. And I thought he showed good judgment with that regard. I'm not going to sit here and be like, well, Evan, I need you to agree with me right now, or we're just going to have to put you on a rhetorical pyre and set you aflame. I feel like that's kind of antithetical to what we do. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think one, to, you know, for, you know, a wide variety of reasons, is it's important for me to kind of put this out, which is I do believe in the right to defend yourself. I do believe in a right to, for the Second Amendment. I do believe that we don't need any additional gun laws. We need to retract gun laws. Like, I think there's a lot of really intrusive government acts right now today that are impeding on our civil liberties and our right to bear arms. Like, that is a fact. That is that is where I stand. That's where my company stands. And when I look at this, I say this, I believe that the video that I saw, it directly represents this kid needed to defend himself, and he had every right to do that. And that's what I'm saying in the sense of I saw what I saw, what video I saw. I do believe he had every right to defend himself. Outside of that, that's the only perspective that I've seen. I've listened to a lot of people talk about it now. And I think that it's, you know, I think ultimately the courts will determine, I think we have to have faith in the courts that he will be ultimately set, when I say he'll be presented as innocent. And I say, I don't know innocent as far as like the entirety of it, because who knows exactly what and how they're
I think the only thing they would get him is like on a misdemeanor for being, you know, for the being under 17 or being the age he is under 18 without supervision with a rifle, which, you know, that's a whole other thing. But
that's a whole other thing.
And right.
But the big ones, right, I think that he will be cleared of those. Like the big charges, I think he will be cleared of those. I hope that he is, because what I've seen is that he needed to defend himself. He was under, he had to defend himself, because I think that there was direct jeopardy in his life. Like, there was no doubt in that video. There's zero doubt. I think that there are a lot of people out there doing a lot of very obviously violent, inappropriate things. And when I say inappropriate, like the mob violence, we as a society have to condemn that. And then when people protect their property, I do think that there's a huge sway on a section, especially on the left, is they'll jump in and they'll condemn. And the instant that they go to this rhetoric of this kid is, you know, a white supremacist or something like that, you automatically go, oh my gosh, here we go again.
Yep.
You guys have the same position over and over and over again. And
We're unfortunately out of time here. My producers are kind of in my ear telling me that we got... No. But Evan, first off, I want to say I'm glad that you came on air, because a lot of people were saying things, and you know, you guys have always been so incredibly transparent about stuff. And I think it was kind of unfair how y'all been treated. BlackRifleCoffee.com. We drink it in my house. We're going to continue drinking it in my house. I'm proud to support your business, a veteran-owned business. And I think that people need to start giving a little bit of a little grace and a little benefit of the doubt. Because, you know, you've been allied with us, and you've gone out and you've proven it in more than one way. Let's just put it like that. I appreciate your time coming out on this, and I hope that people remember y'all when they need some coffee.
All right. Thank you very much, Dana.
Of course. Evan Hafer with Black Rifle Coffee. Evan, thanks so much. I'm sure we'll talk again soon. God bless you.
It's the Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, we went long because I wanted to make sure Evan could, you know, talk about all this. All right, a Florida man was arrested because he done threw a cookie at his girlfriend. Now, to me, that is a gift. That ain't you know, a declaration of war. A man was taken to jail. He threw a hard cookie. Police was called to the couple's home 30 miles from Tampa. The woman wasn't identified, but her 41-year-old boyfriend, Wade Smith, he was taken into custody. Stay with us. We got more in store.
So far, we have asked Michigan and Pennsylvania and Nevada to not certify their election results until we know that they're fair and they're accurate. Every American should want that. That is the procedural stage. And the common question that I've gotten since the press conference is, why haven't you brought forth evidence? We have, and we will in court. We have not yet had what the legal process calls an evidentiary hearing. That's where you go into court and you say, I have all of this evidence, Judge. Now let me bring forward the witnesses.
So that's Jenna Ellis talking about what they've been doing in terms of what stage they are at in this whole election battle. Because there are, and I'm pulling up, I have a lot of notes on them. I know that they were still battling some things out in Pennsylvania, for instance, and there's a number of other things taking place. But I also know that there are several states that are already moving to certify their votes. Two states today, and then another state tomorrow. And where does that leave us? Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. I need to tell you where you can find me because we've had a lot of stuff happening, and I've got a little bit of vertigo because of a blocked ear, so I am totally, if I fall out of my chair.
Find all things Dana at DanaLash.com, at Dana Lash on Parler, at DLash on Twitter and Instagram. Stream The Dana Show live on Facebook at Official Dana Lash, simulcast on YouTube at Dana Lash, and live via The First, Channel 244 on Pluto TV.
And on a radio near you.
And there you have it. There will be a newsletter going out today, and I'm going to send you a big fat Thanksgiving wrap-up, too, tomorrow as well. And they've been trying to cancel culture me because mine is one of the... I've only been on Substack for barely 3 months, and it's one of the top 10 fastest-growing newsletters on the site. And that's because of you all. And so you all are posing a threat to those individuals that are getting conservatives shut down on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And I'll give it to Substack. As long as you have protected speech and unprotected speech. Unprotected speech being the libel, slander, the defamation. You know, they don't tolerate child pornography or anything, you know, illegal and soul rotting and all of that stuff. They don't have a problem. Nobody should have a problem with difference of opinion as it relates to policy and political stance, and they don't. And what the reason that you all post such a threat to that control over influence with the left is when, and at some point we're going to make it a subscription based for 3 newsletters of a week and then 1 free newsletter a week. And the moment I do that, the left knows that Substack is not ever going to shut that flip, that they're not ever going to flip that switch off. So they're not happy. And they've been trying since Friday to get some kind of cancel culture thing up against me on Substack, and it hasn't worked so far. But never say never because they're persistent. But it's just, it should, and all I talk about is the only objection they could have is they don't like my opinion. And that's so, there are a lot of people's opinions that I don't like. And I move on, just how it is. Now, as it relates to the latest, my friend Andy McCarthy had a great piece up at National Review. And my friend, he also had a very, Andy is incredibly, I like Andy, he's very smart, and he was analyzing some of the, I'm trying to figure out the best way to describe them, some of the editorialists out there and some of the pundits who always, they're Republican, but they try to play middle of the road, and they're not totally never Trump, but they're, some of their reasoning doesn't make sense. And so before the election, they were all writing these pieces about how they just couldn't bring themselves to vote for him. And Andy very subtly and very smartly kind of gutted them in a column that he wrote before the election about why he was voting for Trump. And I like his thinking. He's very like-minded. And he was clearly, I mean, he's been on television expressing concern, and he was talking about this on the show as well. He had a great piece that's out. And it's the headline is judge finds the fatal flaw in their Pennsylvania case. And now I remember that in some states there are several cases different where you're looking at either auditing or recounting, you know, et cetera. So there's a lot of, and he's on tomorrow with me. There's some nuance there. So don't let that get lost in everything. But he read this from this Judge Brand, Matthew Brand. And it was a decision about the campaign's attempt. They were trying to find a new complaint that would have reinstated some of these election fraud claims that the campaign had actually stepped away from. Now, do you remember last week when I said I was confused because when Rudy Giuliani as it relates to Pennsylvania, they actually weren't arguing fraud. They were talking about certification and recounting and making sure that signatures on ballots matched and all of this. Well, then they wanted to get any claim on fraud reinstated. And apparently that was denied and it was dismissed. It was a 37-page opinion. And they looked at, this was the case I was telling you about where you had two voters and they both signed affidavits saying that their votes didn't count. And a judge actually agreed with them. And I think it was injury in fact. So that was the quote. So they determined that their votes actually hadn't counted. But then the problem is, and Andy was looking at this and he went into very specific detail and looked at precedent and all this stuff. The problem was that these guys, they didn't actually live in the counties that were being contested by the campaign. Therefore, that had no bearing on the suit. And that was one of the things. He quotes that, quote, greeting plaintiffs requested relief would necessarily require invalidating the ballots of every person who voted in Pennsylvania. And they were getting into all of this stuff. And they were saying that because you can't tie this together. So you can't use these two individuals as like a basis for this particular complaint here, because it has to do with a county in which these two do not live in. So there was concern about the appearance of hastiness with some of the positioning. And I think maybe it was with this case, because the court said that the fatal flaw was, quote, the mismatch between the harm alleged and the remedy sought. And he's going to talk about this, like I said, with us tomorrow. And he noted that in the original complaint on the 9th, the campaign said that they claimed extensive vote fraud. But then they were, and they said that Republican poll watchers had been denied meaningful opportunity to observe canvassing of ballots, et cetera, et cetera. So he actually thinks that it was some of the positioning by the campaign that there was a mistake in some of the positioning that actually contributed to this. And so far, there are some attorney. I mean, you can probably nitpick with some of it, but I don't. I mean, I know enough about election law to know what I know and know what I don't know. And that is, I get a little bit worried about all the cooks in the kitchen with this. I made this remark Friday, and I realize that they're trying to get together and trying to keep a good team together for the campaign. But at the same time, when you have so many people who are trying to make determinations about best moves to make next, I am concerned that there's so much happening that there's a mistake that's going to be made, or that mistakes have been made as a result of that. Does that make sense? So I don't know. But I also think, like I said, when I started the show today, I do believe that the question isn't whether there was widespread fraud. I've said this all along. The question is, how widespread was it? And my husband is very hardcore opposed to, he's got a very different take on this. He thinks that it was unequivocally stolen and that we may never have another fair election again. And he thinks, and I know, and Kane's like, maybe. I get really, in situations like these, I get very robotic and very, very, very logical. And before I make statements like that, I like to know that I have at least enough evidence to say that. And so that's why I can't say it wasn't. I can't say it was stolen, and I can't say it wasn't stolen. My thought is that ultimately it is just, it's not, you're not going to look at these ballots and see big, giant, you know, numbers. Oh, here's 100,000 that are just, you know, it's going to be a little bit here and there that'll be spread out across the country in different districts, different precincts, and it will take forever to unravel because of the nature of how it was smaller bits here and there. Whereas if you're looking at them one off, maybe it doesn't raise any red flags. But when you look at it in totality, then maybe it does. So that's kind of what I'm leaning towards, if that makes sense to you all. It gets difficult and you get in the weeds, and then when you're explaining, you're losing. But I will say this, Lynn Wood telling people to not vote in the Georgia election makes me angry, because you're not punishing Republicans, you're punishing yourself. That's all there is to it. And I will have people know that the RNC has been with the Trump campaign. And keep in mind, too, that some of the people running the RNC, Trump is the official head of the party still. And a lot of those people up at the top are people he selected. So they're there with him. The RNC has been with him filing their own suits in a number of these states. So not only is it unfair to say that the RNC isn't doing anything, it's straight up a lie. And I am someone who does not like defending them. Go back and look at my history. I have fought with the GOP almost as much as I fought with Democrats. And they've held a grudge against me since 2012 with Romney. So they've been there with him, filing suits with him this entire time. So keep that in mind. I want to make sure that we're being factual and that we're not unnecessarily misleading people and we're not overselling people. Because that's just the way it is in Georgia. It comes down to that. We're going to talk a little bit more about this because we have Stephen Yates, who's going to be coming up too. And I'm going to ask him about some of this. But I think we need to know who I realize with Powell, I think it's when she made that allegation about Brian Kemp here ahead of this very important election. And by the way, Donald Trump Jr. agrees with me on the whole Georgia situation. I mean, very, very vehemently agrees with me. I think that when Powell did that, within 24 hours, Trump had the statement out where he's like, she's working on her own. She's not a part of the team. That to me was very significant. We're going to talk more about this because it can be complicated when you look at the different types of suits in different states. And I think that people are jumping on the fact that not everybody is versed. And election law is different state by state, too. And people are seizing upon the fact that not everyone realizes this. And they're trying to exploit lack of knowledge about it to get you to believe certain things that just simply aren't true. So you got to be very careful, and be careful even when you're getting a lot of your information on the right. I'm telling you, there are rat bastards out there on the right and the left that would love to just mislead people for their particular end game. So just, I know, I basically I'm telling you, don't trust anybody. That's, I know. Happy Thanksgiving. Yay. All right. So we have more on the way. We're going to talk to Stephen Yates about some of the cabinet stuff that Biden's doing. And we're also going to get into the latest with we're going to have a Thanksgiving come and take it.
Hi, I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday on the Three Martini Lunch as we dissect the day's good, bad, and crazy news. Each day, you'll get our original and fun insights into everything from presidential politics to the war on punctuation to Jim's hammering the media's pathetic efforts to turn Andrew Cuomo into a hero.
And he's got everything. He's got the personality. He's got the brother. He's got the charm. He's got the jokes. Greg, he's got everything except the actual success.
Subscribe to the Three Martini Lunch at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Mm-mm-mm. All right, so let's see here. Colorado got an In-N-Out burger, and they had a 14-hour line. A 14-hour line? For In-N-Out Burger? Like they act like they never had no burger before in Colorado. Just saying. Colorado fans of the iconic California chain, they waited on epic lines Friday as the state's first two outlets opened. They had to call the police in Aurora to control the crowds because they said that they waited 14 hours to get hamburgers, fries, and shakes. 14 hours. One line was estimated to be 1.5 to 2 miles long.
Okay.
I have never wanted anything
that bad. I can make my own
bad.
Burger and shakes and fries in under 2 hours. So I'm
yeah, I'm it just that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. A Delaware museum is selling Joe Biden scented candles.
What?
I don't want to know what that smells like.
Right.
They are $22. They say it's the best-selling item at their Delaware History Museum. And customers think it's funny. And then they go, what does it smell like? And they, what is it, like orangish kind of? It's sort of like an orangey sort of scent. And they and apparently it's like kind of also based on his favorite drink, orange Gatorade. I don't care. Nobody, it's all a lie. And it's not orange Gatorade. It's orange drink. Let's be honest about this. It's orange drink. No one calls it orange Gatorade. TSA says you can carry a turkey on the plane, but the gravy must be checked.
Oh, God.
They, I know. They do have like the thing. You can take a turkey. Who does that? I guess some people do. Any salad can go through the airport. Anything liquid or spreadable cannot. Spread, like a spread, can't either. But a turkey can.
Wow.
I made a question. I want to know how they came to that determination. Stephen Yates joins us next.
2020 sucks, right? Don't let the source you get your info from suck too. Get The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
The affidavits we've already introduced are hardcore evidence. They're okay. Firsthand testimony of witnesses who saw how and why the system was created and how it worked to accomplish the objective.
So that was Sidney Powell talking about some of the evidence they have. And this was after that press conference last week wherein they were, wherein she made the allegation that there's money that's coming through like Venezuela and China to, I guess, impact and through these systems, the Dominion and the Smartmatic. And I'm very suspicious of the machines and software, but that was a really big allegation that she made. And I have, we were talking about, how is this even done without it tipping off all of these government agencies that watch all of this? I mean, for crying out loud, didn't they lower the threshold to international money exchanges, at least how closely the feds watch them, down to like $200 or $300 now? So how does that not tip anything off? Joining us on this and other issues, our awesome friend Stephen Yates, this Thanksgiving week, he joins us. And Stephen, he's with DC International Advisory, previously advised former VP Dick Cheney. So he actually does know what he's talking about, unlike so all the people on Twitter. So Stephen, we're always so happy to have you. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Of course. My first question, I know you're aware of all of the stuff regarding what, you know, Sidney Powell had said and Rudy Giuliani. And then, of course, the Trump campaign sending out this statement saying that she's sort of like doing her own thing and not actually with the campaign's team. That's a really big accusation, though. And that goes to my question. Like, let's just say that we just knew for a fact that she was correct. Isn't there some kind of agency, or I just feel like that would not go unnoticed that Venezuela and China were sending sums of money and buying off Republican lawmakers and using this to thwart the outcome of an election. I mean, is it possible?
Yeah, well, I mean, first I'd say I've not taken a deep dive into what Sidney Powell may be able to see or whatever the basis of her claim is. Yeah. I find it very, very plausible that there are vulnerabilities in the system. And frankly, the blame has a lot of company going through 2020, where a lot of people who should have known better, should have pushed back, didn't. Whether they're in state legislatures, whether they're in the positions to watch things. Allegedly, the FBI and others were keeping an eye on foreign influence on our elections and the ability to hack our elections, something that the Democratic Twitter sphere has screamed about for the better part of 4 years. So there's all kinds of reasons why this should have been noticed. But the bottom line is we shouldn't have had unsolicited mass mail-in ballots. We shouldn't have had these weird standards in different jurisdictions that are close all the time. And we shouldn't have had the local jurisdictions with the legal ability to block witnesses and monitors either. So there's a lot of wouldas and shouldas in this. But in terms of the broad claim of this software system, I mean, there's any number of ways you could make a more secure and reliable system. I just have the impression that the people involved willfully chose not to. And so this is, I think there is a scandal here, but it's really a struggle between the short game of the outcome of the 2020 election and the long game of can American voters have confidence in any system going forward?
Yeah, that is the million-dollar question, because I'm not, I mean, when you lose that, when you lose confidence in a system and it's that widespread, I don't know how in our lifetimes that's actually, you get that back. I mean, it's, and nobody trusts anybody. Nobody trusts, even Republicans, nobody trusts anybody even within the Republican Party. The transition, I know that a number of states are certifying, well, three, one tomorrow, two today are certifying their election results. Is it, and I, it, where do you stand on the transition process? I mean, is it time? Is this, I mean, you've been there, you've been through elections before, you've been with an administration before, from having the experience of that perspective. I mean, is it over?
Well, first I have to apologize for the apparent solar eclipse that's happening in Washington, D.C. right now that is darkening out my image. Maybe that's an omen of what's happening in the transition. I mean, there's sort of facts and reality, and then there's appearances and politics going on with this. Right. In terms of the facts and reality, there is nothing that is standing in the way of Joe Biden talking to and recruiting the people that he will eventually nominate. Literally none of them can serve in any governing capacity right now anyway. So it's really just sort of getting his choo-choo train lined up with the ghosts of Obama administration past, so they can come through the confirmation process starting in January after inauguration, when there's a new administration and a new Congress or a new Senate to take up this confirmation process, if things move in the direction Joe Biden and his supporters are hoping. But there's literally nothing that stands in the way of them doing the material work of that. You don't need binders full of anything. You don't need office space in D.C. to do that. Joe Biden didn't leave his freaking basement in Delaware for most of the campaign. He can do all of this stuff without having to be in D.C. and without having to have those offices. So that's the reality of it. Now, if this is a constitutional crisis that clouds the legitimacy of Inauguration Day, if there's questions about the Electoral College convening and voting, that's a different ballgame. I can't think of a time we've been there before, certainly not in the modern era. That would be different. But for now, this is much ado about nothing when it comes to the transition process.
Yeah, very interesting. I want to kind of look at how this is going to affect our relationships with others. Last week when you were on, we were discussing Biden wanting to rejoin the or re-agree to the Iran agreement. I mean, it's very, no signatures, no paperwork, anything like that. But the other thing that is really concerning to a lot of people who are like-minded is what is going to happen with the United States and the non-really relationship that we have with China? Because, I mean, we know where Trump stands on China, and he's been incredibly aggressive and really trying to foster up or shore up American strength. But how would a Biden administration affect that? And, you know, I think of Hong Kong. I think of, you know, the stuff that China has pulled recently. We had a headline about the subsonic weapons that they were using against Indian troops in the Himalayas. Like, where does the Biden administration put us in terms of general footing with China? It more precarious?
Well, in a word, yes. I think it's important for everyone to understand and really appreciate for a moment what a positive break with the past President Trump and Secretary Pompeo have been. There really hasn't been a president and secretary of state if this in sync with realigning what America's number one threat to our way of life is in the world. Really, since the onset of the Cold War until now, this has been the most important adjustment. You could say that the Nixon-Kissinger adjustment was just as historic, but it was for bad reasons in some ways. We were accepting defeat in Vietnam. We were sort of accepting that we're going to have to cut a deal with the Russians in some ways, and it was all about balancing then. President Trump really made a profound break with orthodoxy, and Secretary Pompeo has really been outspoken about the dangers of the Communist Party, of China's propaganda, its bullying campaigns, its illicit finances. We've highlighted what the communist organs have been doing to buy advertising and buy influence in American media The same debate is happening in Australia, Canada, the United Kingdom, and many other places because of the changes that President Trump and Secretary Pompeo have elevated in recent years. And so anything that moves away from that, I think, will inherently put America more in a losing position. I certainly don't want that. I think if the incoming team, should there be an incoming team, be wise, they would see that this has been an important change. However, Joe Biden is a blast from the past when it comes to China. He just was making news today with a headline saying the band is getting back together doing the bro elbow bump with John Kerry. And John Kerry is going to be named a special envoy for climate, which that is supposedly the existential threat of our time. That's a pretty clear indication of where their priority is when they look at a threat matrix. And we all know John Kerry shouldn't be special presidential envoy for anything other than marrying rich. He shouldn't be doing anything with regard to policy. He was wrong about the about climate stuff. He was wrong about the Iran deal. He's right in the thick of all the things that were wrong. And the only thing he did right in his life was marry well so he could ride in a luxury jet around the world and talk about the climate.
Hey, that catch-up money, though. I mean, that spends, I'm telling you. That, well, he knows James Taylor, though, Stephen. So when he talks about like rejoining and trying to the Paris Accords and fighting climate change, why can't he just bring his friend James Taylor out?
Hey, beatniks like beatnik music, and all of them around the world can unite around this high priority to the climate. I mean, it's laughable in some sense, but it's really sad. I mean, the facts of the matter are America has made immense progress in terms of cleaning our own environment when it comes to air and water and a lot of standards. We've become energy independent. All of this stuff is good for the planet in any rational definition of what's supposed to be good for the planet and the environment. But these people pray at a pagan church. And this is their whole life. This is the organization of everything that they think about. And if we put our national security back in that realm, I think we're going to take our eye off the ball of all kinds of emerging and very real threats to the detriment of our country. And that's basically what we did during the Obama 8 years.
No, and you make a great point. The United States has done so much with regards to the environment, pollution. I don't know how we can have a serious discussion about climate and climate change and any kind of policy towards it if Kerry is unwilling to address China, the biggest purveyor of pollution.
Right. Well, both Joe Biden and John Kerry had chances during the Obama 8 years. They were both former chairs of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. There's a long record of what these guys' august thoughts are on China. And if you go back and look at it over many, many decades, you'll have a hard time seeing the daylight between the sort of mantra of communist Chinese talking points about U.S.-China relations and a one-China policy and all of our common interests that we should be collaborating on around the world. And, of course, we'll get tough with them at cocktail parties and summits, supposedly. None of us believe that.
Yeah, no, we don't believe that at all. Stephen Yates, always good to see you, my friend. I hope you have a blessed Thanksgiving. And thank you so much. We're grateful for you for just joining us weekly and giving us an inside perspective and explaining things the way you do. Thank you.
Well, my pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving to all.
Of course. That's Stephen Yates. You can find him at Yates, DCIA, on Twitter. He should be an account that you follow if you do not.
How dare you be uninformed?
How dare you?
Let Dana get you up to speed by subscribing to the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
Pennsylvania Health Secretary Dr. Rachel Levine has issued a one-night suspension of alcohol sales starting at 5 p.m. on Wednesday, November 25th, the night before Thanksgiving. Based on what?
Right.
Based on what?
One day.
Oh, my gosh.
One day. So the day before, I'm just going to buy 2 days worth.
Yeah. So just go out and buy a butt ton of liquor. Go and do it. Do it on Tuesday, everybody. Go out in Pennsylvania. Go out and get all your liquor needs done on Tuesday. Just get her done. That's stupid. This is how you make unreasonable people make fun of you. Mm-hmm. This is stupid. Like, what's the... I'm looking at this piece right here. They go, well, you know, that Wednesday before Thanksgiving is the biggest day for drinking. Yeah, because they got you, Wolf, to deal with, Governor. Jeez. I'd drink too if I had Tom Wolf as my governor. Jiminy. I said that they are, bars and restaurants have been hit hard. This one night ban is needed. Here's this, wait a minute, here's this quote. He says, quote, the thing that we can't do, and I am doing this voice for him. The thing that we can't do is ignore reality and say, yeah, you folks, for no fault of your own, have been hardest hit by this virus, but the virus is what's doing this. It's not me. What? It's not the administration. It's not the government. I'm going to kick that virus's ass. They said that they're looking at enforcement, out-of-state travel, mask wearing, gathering limits. Shut up. Seriously. In Texas, they don't try that because in Texas, no. There's no way. I'd make you come in if you could get past me and my Second Amendment. You would have to come in. I'm not saying, look, the quickest way to have a reenactment of 1776 is keep pushing this stuff.
Yep.
I'm not joking. Just keep, because people are done. They're done. You're not going to sit here and tell people how many folks they can have in their homes. You don't own that home. You don't pay tax on that home. You have no, I mean, what's like Lord of the Rings? You have no power here. You don't. This is insane. I don't know. I don't know what science this is based on. Because if people are already not going out to bars and restaurants to drink, then they're just getting stuff and going to the, so what are they,
I guess they're afraid of, you know how it goes, the day before Thanksgiving. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I remember when I was younger,
I was an angel, Kane.
I would go out on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving and tie one on, because all you knew you were doing the next day was sitting down and eating. That's literally all you do, watching football and eating.
I have my wine while I while I cook and bake.
But I think that's probably what they're trying to avoid, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's pastime. It's pastime to have some drinks the night before Thanksgiving, and it's pastime to eat a ton of turkey. And I don't know what people aren't going to be watching football. Are they going to watch football?
I hope so.
I don't even know. What would replace falling asleep on your grandma's couch watching football? What replaces that?
Not much.
Gosh dang.
Falling asleep somewhere else watching something else?
Dana Lash, all the liquor stores. Somebody goes, liquor stores in Ohio along the Pennsylvania border better stock up. All right, folks. DanaLash.com. Subscribe to the newsletter today in stupidity.
All right. Brian Stelter out there, of course, finding more conservative media to bash.
Look, Fox is feeling pressure from the right, from Newsmax. I think that's why they aired the press conference, because Newsmax was airing it. Newsmax's ratings are going up, 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 because they are providing an alternative reality.
What? An alternative reality. This is how he believes news' job is.
Gosh, I can't anymore. I can't, folks. DanaLash.com. Have a great night. We'll be back together tomorrow.